First of all, I was a great Hagba there. Once again, a contribution from this morning from the Halimi family. Also, I want to talk, because I'm going to be talking in my sermon about the three teenagers and the situation in Israel, it's a political morning, so let me do also the Torah teaching about politics. Not contemporary politics, don't worry. But ancient politics. And by this I mean, when Israel was first ruled in its earliest days, who ruled Israel? Who would you say was the first person that ruled the people Israel? In ancient times, not modern times. Moshe. Right? I mean, Abraham was the head of a family, but he wasn't really the ruler of a people. The first person to rule Israel was Moshe. And then Moshe hands it on to Yehoshua, and there's a chain of rulers. But what is Moshe? If you had to choose one word to characterize Moshe, what would you call him? He's a prophet. He's a Navi. Right. In other words, Jews started out with religious leadership. The Navi was the first ruler of Israel. First Moshe, then Yehoshua, and then when they come into the land, they have Shoftim, who are judges. But the judges are also sort of charismatic religious leaders, even though not all of them are very religious. Judges really vary. Someone like Samson, Shimshon, who's a Shofet, who's a leader of the people, but you can't exactly call him a very religious figure until the end of his life when he does tshuva, when he does repentance. But the first leaders of Israel were Nevi'im, were prophets, and then it moves gradually to Kohanim, to priests. And the rulers of Israel are priests, the best example being, in this morning's Haftarah, Shmuel. Samuel is a priest who is also the leader of the people, and he's the leader for a long time, for most of his life. But in Samuel's lifetime, the people already want a different kind of leader. They don't want a prophet, and they don't want a priest. What do they want? A king, like everybody else. Everyone else has a king, we want a king. Now there are two questions involved in this. One is whether it's good to have a king. We know it's good to be the king, but whether it's good to have a king. And the second is, what kind of king do you have? And Samuel at first tries to tell the people, don't have a king. Kings will take your, they'll take your material, they'll take your wives, they'll do whatever they want, they'll rule over you in harsh ways. Because Samuel observed all the kings around Israel and knew that once you give complete power to anyone, it's a bad deal, right? This is a famous axiom, a famous statement by Lord Acton, who is an English political theorist. He said, power tends to corrupt, and absolute power tends to corrupt absolutely. If you're a dictator, it's very unlikely you're going to be a good person. Right? Because that's what power is. It blinds you to the plight of those who don't have as much power. So Samuel said, don't do that. And in fact, he quotes, not exactly, but he refers back in some ways to Devarim, to Deuteronomy, which teaches the people the same thing. It says, don't have a king. Don't think that a king will be good for you. God should be your king, but the people want a tangible political leader. Now, in some ways, this is a good thing, because we all know that it's very bad for a society when the religious leaders are also the political leaders, right? We look around the world and we know you don't want to be ruled by rabbis, you don't want to be ruled by priests, you don't want to be ruled by imams. That's not a healthy combination. So in that sense, the people's instinct was probably good, which is you divide the power. You have religious leadership and political leadership, and they share it. And this, by the way, is a principle among the rabbis, too. They once asked Hillel in the Talmud about a certain law, and he said, puk chazi, which means go out and see. In other words, whatever the people are doing, that's what the law should be. So there is a sort of democratic strain in the Jewish tradition. And eventually, Samuel relents. And he anoints a king whose name is?
Saul.
Whose name is Saul, who is the first king of Israel. Who's not a very successful king. And in fact, in the end, Samuel himself strips Saul of the kingship and then hands it on to David, and the line of David becomes the line of kingship forever, ever after that, right? From the line of Judah through David and forever until the Mashiach, who's called, by the way, Melech HaMashiach, right? The King Messiah, because that idea of kingship continues. But what kind of king is it? So the reason I bring all this up is only in the last 20 years, people have started to write a lot about the political theories of the Bible and what kind of politics does the Bible and later Jewish tradition suggest. And you can understand why people have just started to write about this, because for most of Jewish history, we had no politics, right? We were always subject to other people's politics. But now, in Israel, there's a lot of scholarship about what's a Jewish politics. And one book in particular by a scholar named Loberbaum examines the idea of kingships. And I just want to finish by telling you, he says there are three kinds of kings. There's a king who represents God in the world and therefore can basically do whatever he wants. And a lot of medieval, I don't know about modern, but a lot of medieval kings, they were God in the world and they could do anything. They had absolute power. He said it's clear from the Torah that that's not the king of Israel. Because again and again, the king of Israel is punished. David is punished. Saul is punished. So you can't be punished if you're a God. You can only be punished if you're a human being. On the other end of the spectrum is a king that has nothing to do with religious life, that is only secular. And that also is not the king of Israel, because every king of Israel has a certain religious responsibility. The reason that, for example, Chizkiyahu is thought of, Hezekiah is thought of as a good king, is because he does tshuva. Josiah is thought of as a good king is because he's pious. There are other kings in Israel's history, like Omri, who was politically very successful. He was king for 33 years. And the Bible gives him like a line or two because he wasn't pious. So as far as the Torah is concerned, he wasn't a good king. And therefore, as you might imagine, Israel's kingship is in the middle. That is, you're a political figure, but you have religious responsibility. You're not God in this world, but you are accountable to God in this world, even though you have political power. And I just want to close by saying that in some ways, we still think of that in modern terms. Why does a secular prime minister of Israel put on a kippah when he goes to the wall? Because still, leaders of Israel, even if they're completely secular, even if they're secular leaders, even if they're elected by majority, we still want to see in them some religious sense and sensibility and a feeling that they're accountable to something greater. So that ancient politics is still true today, and it's quite remarkable to see that play out, in fact. I don't know if you saw it. I saw someone sent around a picture on the internet of Shimon Peres and Benjamin Netanyahu, and in between them was the Pope. And someone said, why is the Pope the only one wearing a kippah in this picture, right? It was very funny, but the reason that people noticed it was because it seemed not right somehow. Like the leaders of Israel, when they're standing at a ceremony, should also have a kippah on their head. And that goes all the way back to this morning's Haftarah, to when Samuel says you can have a king, but remember that ultimately your political leadership has religious meaning too. So let's bring everybody in.